Well, right now we're going to connect to our Richmond campus, our Glen Allen, our downtown, and our Wilson campus. Come on, church, here at Great Neck Seaboard and over. Can we welcome our other campuses? We love all of you. We're going to come around our tithes, our offerings, our giving, and I'm going to ask one of our elders, Gaita Hanchik, to come on the stage. She's one of the amazing women of God in our church. Come on, can we welcome Pastor Gay as she comes to encourage us?
Good morning, Wave Church. Happy 25 years. I've been crying. I've been perspiring with all this activity and all the songs we did from days past, and it's such great memories. There's one thing that I know, that I've been fairly consistent. My husband and I were very, very consistent. We wanted the vision of this church to go on. The vision was given and it was plain. It was written down. We all knew what it meant. We all wanted to make heaven party. If you don't understand what that means, we want souls. We want everyone to go to heaven with us so we can have a big party there. Beach balls will be included, I'm sure. And we have, my husband and I, when he was here, he passed away 12 years ago, but I've continued, we continually give so that our grandchildren can come to this church. There will be a building that will be provided because you gave. You gave. We not only see what we need now, new carpet, new whatever, we see that there are great-grandchildren that will have my last name maybe or not, but they're from my bloodline, and they will be using this church and praising God. That's what you give to. That's what you give to. And we have seen it for 25 years. And the one thing that I think Bill told you, Pastor Steve, before he, as he gave him other orders, he said, thanks, Steve. It's been fun. It's been fun. And Christianity is fun. And I've always leaned on the scripture of Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's here. So that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that until it overflows. Today, as you give, don't think of what's in that bank account. It's a trusting of God. You give him your tithe, your offerings. He's going to take what you have left over because he loves you. He loves you, his church. And he is looking for the generations. Yeah. So look at that child next to you. That's why we're giving today. Yeah. And for souls to be saved.
Amen. Come on, can we thank Gay? Here in all of our campuses, as we prepare our tithes and our offerings, the giving options are on the screen. You can text to give and give in person. There's envelopes in the seat in front of you. And church, thank you for being faithful and giving. I don't know if anybody remembers here in Hampton Roads. Everybody remember the purple walls in the building? Glory to God. As we prepare our giving, let's check out the screens for a quick video from one of the great friends of Wave Church, Tommy Barnett.
I wish I could be there to celebrate this wonderful 25th anniversary of the Wave Church. 25 years ago, it was a great day for America, for the Church of America, for your great city, and for me personally. When this wonderful family came from Australia to America and truly touched our nation. There are many great churches in America, many large churches, but few churches has touched our nation like the Wave Church. I want you to know, Pastor Steve and Sharon, I love you dearly. You're truly great people that God has used, and I admire you on your 25th anniversary. May the next 25 years be even greater.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Why don't we pray over our offering today here in Wilson and Richmond. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for Wave Church that we get to call our home. We pray today as we sow, as we bring our tithe, and as we give, that you'll bless the gift and the giver. And everybody said, Amen. As those buckets come your way, don't forget, if you're new, you can put that connection card in the bucket. As we do that, let's check out the screens.
Verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Verse 5, for God is ascended amidst the shouts of joy. Do you know what it literally means in the Hebrew? Do you know what it literally means? It means God has gone up, God is stirred up with a shout. Do you know some people have tried to silence the church? Some people try to tell the church to be quiet and settle down and don't be so radical. You know, the Pharisees, the religious people, love to try and silence the church. That time when they were praising God, praising Jesus, and they said, Jesus, tell them to be quiet. Jesus said, no, they don't praise me. The stones will cry out. And I tell you something, we don't just clap because it's a Pentecostal thing to do. We clap and we shout because we understand, listen, some walls only come down with a shout. Jericho came down with a shout, not a whisper, a shout.
Isn't that awesome? Now, before I do anything, Pastor Steve and Sharon, we may have already done this in Wilson and Richmond, but we're going to dismiss all of our amazing Wave kids to go to kids' church. Let's give the kids a big old cheer, a big old hand.
Come on, give the kids a big hand. I love it. That's not the future. That's today's leaders walking around.
Love the hustle and bustle.
Isn't that awesome?
We want to say hello again to our Wilson campus, our Richmond, Glen Allen, and downtown. We love you guys. It's cool to have Seaboard and Norfolk here at Great Neck. This is a fun family moment.
Welcome.
Now, before we do anything, we're celebrating 25 years of what we know as Wave Church. But this last year was an encouraging year. Our theme was taking new ground, and we have some encouraging info to reflect on because as a church, we spiritually and practically took new ground. And we just wanted to share with our Wave Church family just some of the key things that took place last year. I think we've got a graphic we want to put on the screen, because last year in 2023, 3,241 people made decisions to follow Jesus.
Amazing.
419 people made the next step in their journey of following Jesus to be water baptized. And this is in all of our locations, by the way. And as a church, we grew.
Yep, we took new ground.
In every one of our campuses, I think we have a slide just to show, but in Great Neck, we grew 15%, Seaboard 15%, Norfolk 21%, Richmond, Glen Allen 14%, Richmond, Downtown 22%, Wilson 21%. These are all growing, by the way. And then Wave Church collectively, as a church, we are 18% up.
This is attendance figures.
Yeah, attendance. Yep. Our online campus had 733 decisions to follow Jesus last year.
Wow.
Which is cool. Our viewership increased by 13.6%. in 2023 compared to 2022. And then I also know, Pastor Steve, everyone here and all of our campuses, we want to know how we finished the year with Legacy.
Well, we've been doing this now for 25 years. The first year we came, we said, let's just love God, love life, love people. And then after that, there was a big question about, are we going to build on Seaboard Road or are we going to buy the property here at Great Neck? And I knew we were going to do both. But at that time, I felt like that would have been too much of a stretch. So I remember 24 years ago, I just said to the church, why don't we believe God to raise the money that's owed on the mortgage of our Seaboard Road property? There was no building down. That was just a piece of land. And so in that year, we encouraged people to believe God. There was just a couple hundred people. And we said, let's believe God to raise the, what was it now? I've drawn a blank. Joe, do you remember? Was it $256,000, something like that? $256,000. And since then, we've done this every single year. And never once have we ever missed the goal of what it was we're believing God for. And I want to just say thank you, Wave Church, because even though we didn't reach the goal this last year, we didn't reach it. Just want to share that. So we didn't reach it, but I'm just grateful because the goal was $700,000. Do you know, in the last 2 months? So over the whole year, people give, but we always have an end of year goal to fulfill, I think, Josh, our commitments that we've made to that year. And this year, for the last year, for the first time ever, we didn't reach it. Do you want to know what the figure was? The goal was in the last 2 months, $700,000. We got $1,291,420.79. $1.2 million in the last 2 months. And I know Sharon and I just want to say thank you because this is a day of celebration.
It is.
And we want to say thank you for leaning into the vision. And because of that, we're able to do even more because we set a theme, taking new ground. Matter of fact, straight after the service, after lunch, I'm going to go away for 5 days in the mountains, off the grid, and I'll be praying about the theme that God wants us to have for this year. And I'll be believing God for Vision Sunday. But seriously, don't we, hon? Thank you, church. We pastor the most generous church in all the world. Isn't that amazing? Come on, give the Lord a hand.
So we thought today it'd be fun just to sit down with you, Pastor Steve and Sharon, and just ask you some questions as we reflect on what God has done the last 25 years. And for those of you who may not know, Wave Church wasn't always known as Wave Church.
This is important conversation.
Yeah, there's a long and inspired history of our church at Virginia Beach going back 60 years.
60 years.
Which is pretty amazing. But I want to ask the question, what inspired you to move to Virginia Beach, take on what was then known as Church of the Redeemer? Why leave a great church in Australia, the comfort of home, and all family in Australia? Why make that decision to come to America, to come to this church?
Well, as a little boy, leaving New York City, flying to Australia, 8 years of age, I said to myself, one day, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. I knew why we were leaving America. My mother and father were both alcoholics. We're trying to put behind them that life and that lifestyle. And I didn't want to move to Australia, but I'm glad I did because I never would have met this beautiful girl, nor would I have, And then at the age of 12, my parents asked me, did I want to become an Australian citizen? And I said, would that mean I'd lose my American citizenship? And they said, yes. And I said, no, I'm going back one day, come what may. Sometimes you just say that for a couple of people. I'm going back someday. I come what may. By blue bayou.
I'm not one of those couple of people.
Yeah. Where those fishing boats and sails afloat. The eye can only see that familiar sunrise. Oh, I know this. This is Linda Ronstadt. This is when singers were singers. Okay. 17, got saved, knew God called me to pastor a church in America from the age of 17. I knew now why I wanted to go back. And then at the age of 35, we had a guy called Wally Odom. I preached for him, and he said that God spoke to him and said, this is the guy you're to give the church to. And he asked us, and we said, it was in May, we were asked, and we said, our senior pastor will bless us and send us. He's asked me, whoever, it's going to take 7 months to untangle my job and to figure out who's going to take different roles. So would I stay with him for 7 more months? And we came 25 years ago, my wife and I, knowing God had called both of us. And you didn't want to come, did you?
No, I mean, you're right, Josh. We, you know, all our support system, family, great church, Sydney, Australia, born and raised there. Why move to the other side of the world?
Yeah.
And Steve had said, you know, several years before, yeah, I think we're going to live in America. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I just totally dismissed it, rolled my eyes. That's never going to happen. How many people have said that's never going to happen? And, you know, just he began to feel a stirring, and I was digging my heels in. In fact, I'd visited the United States. I think we came in November 1997, for the very first time for me personally. And I remember leaving. We were in LAX the day before Thanksgiving. It was slammed, going back to Australia. And I just said to him, Steve, I just can't. It's too big. It's just overwhelming. No, you know. And literally within 6 months, you know, he just said, fine, okay, if, you know. But within 6 months, the Holy Spirit of God spoke right to my heart. And, you know, that's all it took. He just said, you know, there's a door of opportunity coming. Will you go? So so kind in that he, I felt him ask, will you go? And now I sit here and go, man, it wasn't, you know, it was for us, but it was beyond that. It was for this, you know, this beautiful community of believers and for our kids and now for our grandkids. Yeah. And I think that's the, you know, on the other side of obedience is so much that we don't understand that God sees so far beyond.
It's so true, isn't it? Yeah.
So where did the name Wave Church come from? Because when you guys first came, we changed the name to Virginia Beach Christian Life Center, which was a real fun name to invite people to church to. You want to come to VBCLC with me?
Yeah. It was a bit better than Church of the Redeemer. Yeah. So the church we came from in Australia was called Hills Christian Life Center. So when we came 25 years ago, the church was called Church of the Redeemer. And it really wasn't a name that rolled out of my mouth comfortably. It took a lot of explanation to people as to what that is. For church people, maybe it was a relatable name, but for unchurched people, it had no meaning at all. And so you really should not change the name of a church but once. If, you know, and we did it twice because we changed it to Virginia Beach Christian Life Center because that's where we were from, Hills Christian Life Center. And then we locked a bunch of people in the room realizing we're more than Virginia Beach. Our vision is greater than Virginia Beach. And so we had to come up with a name that would actually really, if you like, mark us and identify us. And so I locked a group of people in a room and said, you're not allowed out of this room till we come out with a name. Because we talked about it for so long. Do you remember this? Bill was in the room.
I do. It was in the old building, and it was the room
right over there. And we said, we're not leaving this room till we come up with a name. And we came up with the name Wave.
Actually, it was Bill.
It was Bill Tehanchuk that actually suggested the name first, Wave Church. And the meaning of the word wave is a movement sweeping large numbers in a common direction. And I went, that's who we are. We are Wave.
Amen.
Wave is us.
I'd love to hear, in what ways have you both seen church grow and change during your time leading our church? What ways has our church changed?
I think the biggest change I remember is at the end of a service, people would just get out and leave during the altar call. And anybody who knows me knows that's the wrong time to leave a service. And I remember the day when things got a little, as they do on altar calls, the enemy pushes and resists. Things got a little tight in the altar call. There wasn't a real great response. And then all of a sudden, people just started coming to the front and responding. And I remember that day, the whole church, something broke. I remember the day. I remember the service. Something broke in our church where we became a soul-winning church. It wasn't just me winning souls. We, the church. It says he gave some to be evangelists to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That was the day when this guy, who maybe has a gift of evangelism, saw the church be empowered to do that. And I remember that's the most defining moment of my recollection of Wave Church.
Yeah, I think there is a real sense of us, not just me. You know what I mean? You know, this week in our Norfolk campus, we had a gentleman pass away by the name of Steve Gelnett, who's actually been in our church since we got here.
Yep.
And what I love is for Barbara, her community group rallied around her to do the reception afterwards and just have walked through her on this journey. And I think that epitomizes who Wave Church is. We are a family of believers. And there is a big sense of we're here with you to walk with you through the highs and lows of life. And I love that.
Amen.
I do love that we're a soul-winning church. I love that every week in the life of our church, we see people make decisions to follow Jesus. I love that about our church. This next question is about great memories and milestones. Before I ask you guys, I wanted to share one of my favorite memories and milestones. Jared, can you grab that wig that's underneath your chair? Because one of the great milestones of my life was in middle school. And Mom, I blame you for allowing this to happen, but you let me get a perm.
Oh my gosh.
And I just thought we'd go back in time. I think we have a photo if we could just do a comparison from 2024 to
the GW Christian Life Center.
I can't believe you're blaming me for that. You went to youth camp. You went to youth camp and came back. They permed your hair at camp, summer camp. Half of it was permed and the other half wasn't.
Yeah, because my hair was so thin, which is ironic for what the future happened with my hairline, is it kind of took and didn't take, and that happened.
And no. And then you said, I said, okay, Josh, we need to go. And he goes, Mama, I want my whole hair permed. And I'm like, when you got middle school kids, sometimes you're like, oh, well, whatever. You got to figure this out. So I blame you. It was all your fault.
Don't mess with Mom.
At our church, we do value building a good rapport. Can you share some of y'all's memorable moments and milestones over these last 25 years?
I think for me, memorable milestones and memories is Devoted Conference.
Yeah.
And shout out to all the girls. But I'm just so grateful that, you know, God has created a space for women here. It's pretty special. And you know, I remember when, you know, we had a speaker come and prophesy that this building would be filled with women. And I remember at the time going, oh, that's amazing. And, oh, geez, what that means I got to get on the platform. Because the last place I wanted to be was on the platform. Yeah. And yet, it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do here. And so I think over the years, watching God move powerfully, I really believe not just our lives as women has changed, but families have been changed and legacies have been changed. But then there's the everyday, like you were saying, Josh, when people encounter Christ, everything about their world changes and beyond, you know, with generational, people getting water baptized, just the transformation that happens in a life when they encounter Christ. So I don't think you can ever get away from those moments.
I think for me, I'm just sitting here reflecting, and I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about who was on team, who was on staff here at the church when we first came. And what's interesting is they're still here, and they're still on staff. And that's Chris Elliott. I want you to stand up. Chris, where are you?
Chris is in kids' church.
Oh, he's in kids' church, of course. So he can't stand up. He's already standing up. Seth Mizell, where are you, Seth? Where's Lefty? There he is. Seth Mizell.
Which next year, Seth celebrates 50 years being in this church.
50 years. If you want to know some of the history of our church beyond, here's the thing. I want to just say this because, you know, I know there are people who are part of this church, and we're going to bring that out in just a little bit, who are part of this church long before Sharon and I ever were here. We are celebrating today our being here for 25 years. And that is worthy of a celebration. And that is like the prodigal son. If you don't celebrate, that's on you. But, you know, this son of mine, this brother of yours, we're celebrating that he's come back to the kingdom. So what we're celebrating today is this. But let me tell you, I stand on the shoulders of giants who have gone before me. And Wally Odom had been here for, I think, 20 years before me. And I want to give a shout out to Seth, to Chris Elliott, to Robert Cameron. Robert, that's who was here. And they're still here. And so when I think about memorable moments, I got to tell you, the Bible says, a faithful man, who can find? And what it's saying is they're rare. Who can find them? And let me tell you, there are people who've been in this church long before I was ever here, sitting on the front row, one of elders, Dr. Joe Monaco, who's been a friend of mine for more than 25 years. I had dinner at his house before I ever came. And if I start naming names, I'm going to miss out and I'm going to leave people out. So to me, I actually think, and I mean this, the greatest asset God gives you, look at me, church, listen to me. The greatest asset God ever gives you is not money. Can I tell you? And I thank God for health. But I actually think the greatest asset God gives you is friends. And I thank God for the friends we've made over these 25 years. Amen. That's how rich you really are.
Amen. Leading church is full of amazing moments, like we just reflected on. But we also know life happens. Leading church isn't always full of giggles and joy. I'd love to hear what has been a challenging season during the last 25 years. Can you share a challenging moment you faced as senior pastors and how you overcame it?
Yeah, it's simple. Wally is one of the finest Bible teachers you'll ever hear. To this day, I don't know anybody, to be honest with you, as good as a Bible teacher as Wally Odom. But when the church is going to be experiencing transition, I know it is experiencing transition, the church can get a little challenged in its like 7-month transition of leadership. And I remember when I came, there were people that were, I don't know the right way to describe it, but it made me cringe if I ever thought if I was going to bring someone to church. And this had nothing to do with Wally's leadership as much as people, I think, just testing me about what can we get away with now that we got a new pastor. And so there were some things that I would just be honest with. I just went, this is crazy. And we got to get this out of church because this is cringe. And I remember going, we got to get the cringe factor. Do you know what I mean? Like when you're going to invite someone to the church, oh God, please don't let him do that. Don't let be somebody running around the building barking like a dog.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so that's for me. And it was funny because people were saying, well, Steve's against the move of the Spirit. And if Mark Hopkins and Sandy, they've known me for 40 years. Well, yeah, 40 years. I got saved 40 years ago. And if I had any characteristic of leadership in as a benchmark of who I am, it's a moving in the Spirit, Holy Ghost guy. But I wanted to bring some structure and some stability to that aspect of church life because I think people were testing me. I don't know that they would have necessarily did some of those things to the previous pastor because he had been established, but people were testing me. And I got a reputation of being a anti-Holy Spirit person because I was trying to say, we're not having 15 prophecies in one service. The Bible says there should be 2 or 3 at the most. Let everything be decently in order. That was probably the greatest testing. And my favorite one is the guy who said to me, listen, I come to this church and I'm a successful businessman, and if you want me to stay in this church, you've got to get rid of the Coca-Cola machine. That's my favorite memory, because I didn't even know we had a Coca-Cola machine. And I said, where is it? I've been driving down the 7-Eleven. And then I realized what he asked me was, if you want me to keep coming to this church, you got to get rid of the Coca-Cola machine. And I said, well, today's the Coca-Cola machine to keep you happy. What would you like next week? Would you like me to run my sermons by you for your approval? And I would rather the Coca-Cola machine than that spirit any day in our church.
I'm glad you kept the Coca-Cola machine.
We're not having a Pepsi machine, that's for sure.
No, we're not. I think, you know, leading church, you ultimately, you know, are leading according to the convictions that God has put in your heart. And I think sometimes people, you know, rightly or wrongly, can misunderstand your motive in it all. I think we've tried really hard to lead and honor God and go in a direction that we've really felt like God was leading us in. And I think there are sometimes the moments when people just can just misunderstand sometimes a little bit your heart in it all. There's this great scripture that I love, the Message Bible. I can't remember where it is, but it says, God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. And I think I've always tried to remember that, is that leading in any sphere, particularly in church life, sometimes you've got to make those tough decisions and you've got to go in a way that you know God is leading you. But he's kind, but he's not soft. And I think that's really helped me in the journey of leading.
Mom, I want to ask you this question. It's something you guys have both done. And you don't have to lead a church for this to happen. I think you live life long enough. People are going to hurt you. People are going to betray you. There's going to be disappointment. One of the things that I honor and appreciate about both of you, and I think it's one of the reasons why I'm still here, is you guys have always taken the high road. You have never stooped low and taken the low road.
It's been tempting.
Yes. I've been tempted to create fake social media accounts of this is who they really are, but I haven't. But how have you guys continually taken the high road and always honored people?
Yeah, I think as I look back, you know, as you get older, I think you, well, for me, I've realized that, you know, one of the questions was, what would you say to a younger self, your younger self, and it would be, God has you. God has your back every step of the way. And I think I've just, over the years, gone, probably part of my nature is not, I'm not necessarily a vindictive person. Now, don't get me wrong, I can be ticked off like the rest of you all, but I promise you. But I've just always prayed, Lord, your heart is everything. You know, guard your heart because it determines the course of your life. And I've just gone, I don't want to end up a bitter, twisted, anti-church, I just don't want to do that. So I've always prayed, Lord, this is really tricky. You know, the weeds of our heart sometimes, stuff gets caught in. Lord, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need your help to take the high road or to let it go. And I've just, honestly, God has been gracious. But I also have realized that you don't ever get to a place where you're good because stuff hits at every age, at every season. And so that process is continual.
For me, I just think this. There's a great Bible verse, and I want you to hear it. It says, the prudent see danger coming and take refuge. The prudent see danger coming. It's not here yet, but they see it and they take refuge. The fools do nothing and suffer the consequences. So sometimes I've made decisions that I know people won't understand why I made that decision. Are you hearing me? But I saw danger coming. And so I, ahead of the danger, saw it and made a leadership call that some people will never understand. I just saw danger coming. And I've got to tell you, I'm sitting here, and we obviously, as you go and pastor a church, you join any church for any length of time, there were people that will come and go. People are not disposable, you understand, but that happens. And I think two of the most significant people that were on team here that I think did wrong in what they did and how they handled our leadership and caused a great deal of angst for us, and we chose to take the high road. Two of the most significant have come back privately and apologized and said, please forgive me. Had I not taken the high road, I would have lost that opportunity. That doesn't mean I'm going to be best friends with them, but I am thanking God that we keep taking the high road.
Yeah. Amen. Here's a good question. How have you guys balanced the spiritual needs of the congregation with the practical responsibilities of leading a church and raising a family? And maybe a second part of this question, in what ways has church helped you shape and raise your family? Rumor has it your guys' kids are pretty amazing. I haven't met them, but I think Alyssa's here. If we could, where's Alyssa? Oh, we couldn't find her. That's okay.
She's right there. She's your sister.
Anybody enjoy seeing Alyssa lead worship at Great Neck today? We invited Sam, but he didn't want to come, so that's not true. We didn't invite him.
I think it's both and.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
one or the other. I think, and from the early days, you know, Steve used to speak at youth camps in Australia, out in the country with tents. You know, they used to have these youth meetings in tents. And I remember going pregnant. I remember taking a baby out there. You'd be outside the meeting more than you'd be inside. But it was who we were. We were on this journey together. And I think we always saw, even moving to the States, this wasn't just Steve's thing or Steve and mine. This was about our family. We're going to do this together, and we're going to enjoy the journey. And I think we worked really hard to do that. We didn't get it right all the time. But I think we were like, well, we're up for this. Let's go. This is an adventure, and we're going to take you guys with us.
There's a I think it's a Disney one where the character, when he walks into the room, he goes, the fun has arrived. And I've always tried to be that parent. I've always tried to bring fun into everything we do. I can be intense. I can be strong. I can be a very driven leader. But I think one of the things that I've actually always kept is this desire to enjoy the journey and have fun. And I've made sure as a family that we had fun. Our family vacations, we laugh together, we cry together. And I think I think it's so important. We can get so intense and so spiritual. Sometimes I get around other pastors and I say to Sharon, we must be the most shallow pastors in all the world, because they talk about all these deep things. And shall I go on? We've never, we're just not that deep, are we? We just want to love God, love life. I think we're very shallow people, to tell you the truth.
I'm thankful that you've showed us that church is the hope of the world, and that it is a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And how to balance life and family and enjoy the journey. Oh,
yeah, no, that's right. Because church attendance in our family was never an option. You will go to church. And our greatest parenting mission statement was, we didn't care what they did. They're all in the ministry today, pastoring in the ministry. But that wasn't our end in mind. All as we want, I want you to hear this, parents. Please listen to this. We wanted them to love God. We wanted them to love his house. And we wanted them to answer the call that God had on their lives. If we do that, we're successful as parents.
Yeah. I think, you know, for Steve and I, many of you know this, we walked into a church just like this separately as teenagers and encountered Christ. Weren't raised in church, didn't know anything about church, really. Yeah. And it radically changed the course of our life. And then we met each other, we got married, and so for me, you know, that was the thing. We want them to love Jesus, but also love the church. I mean, the community of church, whether it was in Australia or here, has really shaped who we are and has really shaped our family. I mean, our kids, you know, community group, from the get-go, from children's ministry and then community group leaders in youth, middle and high school, and then young adults. It takes a village to raise your kids. And our village was the local church, and so I'm very grateful.
Everything I've learned about being a good dad, I've learned by being in church. Everything I've learned about business, I've learned by being in church. Everything I've learned about leadership, I mean it, everything. The church owes us nothing. We owe the church everything. We need church as much as you do.
true.
Amen. You know, Mom, you said community groups. I look back at my life, and I think my community group saved me in middle school. And I feel like the older I get, the more I begin to understand that I need my community group more.
Yeah.
33 years old, I'm a dad, a husband, you know, leading in church. And all I discover is how much I need my community group even more than I realize. I want to encourage all of our church, all of our locations. In just a couple of weeks, our next CG semester is starting again. It's an 8-week semester. And if you are not a part of a CG, can I encourage you? You are missing out on a part of what we call really family in our church. And you can sign up in the lobby after the service. But Pastor Steve, what would you say, Dad, what would you say to yourself as a 35-year-old man coming here? What advice would you give yourself on younger Pastor Steve taking on Wave Church?
I'd say chill out. I'd say don't make life so serious. And I believe in fun. You got to know me. I've got a lot of hobbies, and I'm a busy, fun guy. But I think times when I just was overwhelmed, you know, I think I would just be more realizing that God is with you more than you realize. And I wouldn't actually, I wouldn't take some of the things, like for me, I guess my thing is I grew up with alcoholic parents. So I had this fear of rejection. And I would just say, just understand God's got your back. Relax. Don't sweat it. You're going to get through every season of your life. Keep a good spirit.
Amen. I forget who said it earlier, but the statement, always only faith.
Yeah.
You guys have led by faith, and you have seen things that didn't exist yet in the natural, but you've seen them by faith. And one of those things is even the building that we're in here.
Yep.
Now, we first came here, there was one location, one campus. Now there's 6 or 7.
Yep.
What, as we reflect on 25 years, by faith, what do you see the future of our church looking like?
Shoot, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I was talking to you about this as well. I said, well, in 25 years, we'll both be 85.
I know.
So I'd like to be alive. I'd like to be healthy. I have great hope for the church. I really do. I know that I'm only playing my role in my season, and I want to play my role in my season well to set up the next generation. And when I look around, like to me, I think about the church is going to be better. But I will say this, Josh. I do think the challenge for future church is that we stay true to the authority of the Word of God. That we don't allow culture to bully us into a corner and cause us. I remember this, and this is not a political statement, but I remember a person seeking to become president who was a woman said, we have to teach the church new doctrine. And I thought to myself, sweetie, and she was trying to get, you know, to get the church to approve things that clearly Scripture is very clear on. And I said, you will never ever in a million years get my vote if you think that you have the ability to tell God to rewrite his word to suit your social preferences. That'll be a challenge for the church. To stay caring, to stay loving, to stay kind, yet be uncompromising in the authority and the authenticity of
Amen.
The word of God.
And as we celebrate 25 years, there are people here today who have been here for the entire journey and even beyond. And we just wanted to take a moment, if you've been here, part of Wave Church for over 20 years. And maybe in Wilson and Richmond, you're sitting here in church today, and you've been a part of that campus since the beginning, the start of that campus. If you're here today and you've been here for over 20 years, could you just stand to your feet? Just we could just take a moment to...
Look at this. Look, wow.
To honor you.
Turn the lights up. I want to see.
And in Wilson and Richmond, if you can stand, if you've been a part of
Let
that campus
see.
Since it started.
Wow, wow, wow.
Come on, look at all these amazing people over 20 years in our church.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you up there, buddy Thomas.
Donna
I love
Donna
you.
Smith.
Donna Smith, where are you, Donna?
She's right there.
Right there.
Right
oh.
There.
Thank
Great
you.
Such incredible memories, yeah.
Donna was the most encouraging and still
Generous,
is.
Generous, kind.
compassionate, thoughtful, beautiful gifts. He gave me a Mets blanket once. I still have it, don't I? And I've never forgotten it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Donna. Yeah.
But I just want to say, church, thank you. You know, for those who have done the journey with us, you've seen us good times, hard times. You've trusted us when we haven't always got it right. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loyalty on the journey. We wouldn't be who we are without you. And to everybody who's joined us on the journey, thank you. Our church is who she is because of you.
Because of you.
And our incredible team. Shout out to our team who are legendary. Mm.
Before we close, in just a moment, Pastor Jared's going to come. And
please stay with us. Don't leave during the altar call.
Yeah, we got some we got some important and fun things we want to do before we close. One of those is Pastor Jared in a moment is going to come and talk to you about your relationship with Jesus. But before he does that, I have a statement here that we've heard said already today, and I just love for the church to be reminded from you, Pastor Steve, of what does this mean? Wave Church exists to give heaven a reason to party.
I know why I was born. I know why God put me on planet Earth. To see people come know Jesus. And the Bible says heaven rejoices more over one person that gets right with God than over 99 righteous people. There is one sitting in this auditorium, and there's one sitting in the auditoriums of Way campuses, that heaven's priority is you, not the crowd. The one who says, I want to come back to the Father, you're the most important person in the room right now. And every time someone makes that decision, heaven rejoices. And I was born to see people come to a saving knowledge and a faith and become a follower of Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, I want the angels to say, Steve, we're glad you're here. Because while you were on earth, we partied hard because you're alive. I want heaven to rejoice.
Amen. Come on, are we thankful for our senior pastors, Pastor Steve and Sharon? Pastor Jared.